Simon Dinopoulos joins us from Racing and Sports. Morning to you, Simon.
Morning, Andrew. How are you?
Good, mate. You're going to focus in on Rose Hill?
Yeah, it looks a good competitive card, obviously, with the extreme heat they're predicting, and it's going to be a firm track in the rail out six. I do think you want to be on speed, but I think we can find a few winners. Looks a good card.
Okay, where's the first one?
Yeah, kick off with the Tab Highway Handicap, Andrew, with the Matthew Dow trained Bitburg. More than happy to sign with him. He was unbeaten in three starts during his maiden campaign and continued to raise the bar and remains a big watch fresh on Saturday. He's forced to give weight away to the older horses, but still appears well-placed and is a three-year-old clearly heading in the right direction. Although based in Canberra, Matthew Dale is no stranger to travelling his horses. This season, he's striking at 29% in Metropolitan Company. Overall, Dale is striking at 31%, an astounding 68% with favourites. Jay Ford continues his association with Bitburg on Saturday, and this season he's striking at 54% when teamed up with the Dale stable, so certainly ticking a few boxes there. I think he's drawn to receive all the favours and do expect him to settle just off the speed, and with further improvement anticipated off a break, I think he will prove very hard to beat. Race 4, number 3, Bitburg.
Bitburg to continue on its winning way first up tomorrow. That's race 4, number 3. Where's the next one, Simon?
Yeah, move on to race 6, the Farewells Jimmy Cassidy Handicap with Medcourt. Looking aside with the John O'Shea trained galloper, a proven flyer fresh. He resumes on Saturday off the back of two solid trials and should be raring to go, having been scratched last weekend due to the wet track. First up, last preparation, he made light work of Frespinol and Sure and Fast, form which obviously reads well for his claims on the weekend. From the middle draw, he looks to raise all the favours, and leading rider James McDonald legs back aboard. In four attempts to board the five-year-old, he has placed in three and overall strikes at 22% with the O'Shea camp. Clearly at his best when on top of the ground, three of his five career wins have come when racing on a firm track, so he will receive those conditions on Saturday. Overall, O'Shea strikes at 18% with gallopers racing first up and strikes at 18% with gallopers over this distance range. In what shapes is a good competitive affair? I thought he presented good value at his each-way quote. Race 6, number 4, Medcourt.
Something each-way there. That's race 6, number 4. And the last of the trio?
Yeah, the get-out stakes, Andrew. Hopefully we can find a winner to finish off the day. With Corson's Power, a progressive galloper from the Chris Waller stable, who returned in great order last start when too strong late at Warwick Farm. Was under urging the fairway from home on that occasion, but really liked the way he found the line and should appreciate the step up in trip on Saturday. A winner of two of his seven starts, he has displayed good ability, and given this is only his second prep, I think he remains open to further improvement. The fact he also returned a new career peak first up also suggests he can take that next step. The much-informed James McDonald sticks aboard, and this season is striking at 41% when teamed up with a Chris Waller yard, so definitely keep an eye on that. Enjoying a great run this season, the Waller stable is striking at 25% with last start winners and just shy of 20% on their home deck. No favours from the wide draw, but hoping James can weave some magic and do expect him to be right around the mark. Race 9, number 9, Cawthon's Power.
Okay, so the three from Simon for Rose Hill, race 4, number 3, Bitburg, race 6, number 4, Metcourt, and then race 9, number 9, Cawthon's Power for the Waller McDonald stable, which James is riding a couple for Chris tomorrow. Good on you, Simon. Enjoy Saturday at Rose Hill.
Yeah, it should be great, Andrew. Cheers.
Have a good Simon Dinopoulos there from Racing and Sports. Well, we gave you the news about half an hour ago that it's been now confirmed by Maloney Racing. Their message on their webpage: it is with much sadness that the Maloney family announces the death of their much-loved husband, father, grandfather and Hall of Fame racing legend Jim Maloney, who died peacefully in his sleep last night. Joining us is Brian Martin, former race caller and through the Australian Racing Hall of Fame and the history. He loves the history of the past. Brian, a very sad morning with the news here of Jim Maloney passing away peacefully overnight.
Yes, it is. Andrew, good morning to you. Jim was a racing legend, as we say, and had so much longevity in the game. He came from the Western District down. I think he was born in Port Ferry, down in the Warrnambool District, way back. And he took up training in the 1940s and had great success with a very good jumping horse called Landrillo, who won over the jumps, but more importantly won the Grand National in 1950 and the Australian Steeple the next year. So he got off to a flying start, and that's sort of, you know, some 65 years ago, but a stellar career spread over a long, long time, and a career, of course, shared by a Hall of Fame and great former champion jockey in Pat Hyland. And they probably, Andrew, in my time of sort of well over 40 years in the game, I think that's one of the greatest, you know, sort of jockey-trainer partnerships I've seen in the industry.
Well, we don't really see a lot of it these days. Most jockeys are freelance. I know James McDonald links with Godolphin, but we don't see a lot of them. The link-up, though, is one horse here, isn't it? One horse that stands out to many of our listeners will be the combination of Maloney, Highland and Vane.
Yeah, without a doubt. 14 starts, 12 wins. Beaten twice only. Beaten on a heavy track and a size produce up in Sydney, and beaten at Moonee Valley when ridden by Roy Higgins in the Moonee Valley Stakes.
And they often laughed about that, didn't they, Roy and Pat?
They did. He was the only one that got the horse beaten, and the horse at the time was trained at Mentone. Jim had moved down to Melbourne from the Western District. This is back sort of the later 60s, and they produced him in the debutante stakes vein on the 12th of October 1968. It was over 4.5 furlongs or 900 metres, and he galloped at Mentone sort of, you know, a couple of weeks prior, and, you know, the old track watchers and people that are close to those times say they've never seen a gallop like it, so they knew that they had in this colt by Wilkes from Elated. They knew in vain when they took him to the races that he was unbeatable. And there was a horse over from Adelaide. I think he won about 4 or 5 races called Shacko. And he came to Melbourne with huge raps on him. And, you know, the South Australians wouldn't hear of Shacko being beaten, but Vane actually towed him in that first up win. And he went on to win the Maribyrnong Plate, Vane, and then won the Merson Cooper on the 22nd of February 1969. And the Merson Cooper virtually is the Blue Diamond, which was introduced in 1971, a couple of years later. But I remember as a teenager, Andrew, watching this horse at 3 years of age, and he turned up on Derby Day. He won the Craven A Stakes, the Group 1 straight 1,200 metres. He then went from Derby Day to Oaks Day, won over 7 furlongs of 1,400 in the Linlithgow. And then while he's three, he took on the George Adams, which is the Emirates on the final day, over 1,600. So in the space of 7 days, he won 3 races. A three-year-old, he carried well over the weight for age. And his margins, in one of the races, I think the margin was 12 lengths. He was the most dominant speed colt, and he got out to 1,600 metres I'd ever seen. He was injured after the George Adams, and he was retired to Widden Stud. But he was just a colossus as a racehorse. And that was the horse, really, that put Jim Maloney and Pat Hyland on the map. But, you know, Jim had some great success with a horse like Arctic Symbol, who won the Sydney Cup, Sou'wester, who won the Caulfield Guineas, very good filly, Andrew, called Rom Stiletto.
Yeah.
Back in the early 80s with the 1,000 Guineas and the Oaks. He won the Derby in the mid-80s with Ravenau, Jim. And, of course, Affinity won the Caulfield Cup in 1985, and that was the first time that the Caulfield Cup was ever sponsored. It was a $1 million race sponsored by Foster's. And, again, Pat Hyland and Jim Maloney teamed up to win the Caulfield Cup. The Melbourne Cup eluded him, but he had some grand stayers down through the years. But, of course, the horse that stands out is Vane. But very much loved in the racing industry from the old school. Very dedicated man to his profession. Easy man to get on with. Just loved the game. Saw his time out at the old Epsom Racecourse before it was closed down. And he hadn't been in good health. I was only talking to Pat Hyland about Jim about 2 weeks ago. And Jim was in care and not in the best of health. But he can look back and celebrate on a fabulous life and a stellar life so well lived.
Yeah, for sure. And, of course, sons John and Jared, certainly involved in racing. And I just read out a message from Patrick, who is down to ride at Moonee Valley tonight. I'm not too sure whether he'll ride there now, given what we've announced this morning. But the name is going to be there for some time in Australian racing, the name Maloney. And it comes through from Jim, and prior to that, his father.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So a family steeped in tradition in horse racing in Australia, particularly here in Victoria. But they could travel around Australia, Jim and his team, and they'd be a force wherever they went, particularly at the carnivals in Sydney and Melbourne and across to Adelaide. But you spoke of young Paddy Maloney, the jockey. Like he's ahead of his time, Patrick. He's a beautiful young rider, a superb rider, great balance. And of course, John's doing a great job, and Jared, as trainers in their own right. So the name will live on, and I know that old Jim would have been very proud, particularly of his sons and particularly of his grandson in Paddy Maloney, and seeing the great inroads that this young man has made into racing. So, as I say, whilst it's a sad day, we celebrate a fabulous life.
Yeah, we do. Hey, Brian, on short notice, we thank you for coming on. Thanks for taking the call and paying tribute to Jim Maloney, as I say, passing away peacefully in Melbourne overnight, and we thank you for your time.
Thanks, Andrew.
Good on you. Brian Martin there. It's 6 minutes to 10.